Welcome to the new reality edition of Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR1, where we serve you the first bite of today's science, technology, and innovation. I'm Bert Lum, and today we have with us Dottie Kelly Paddock. She's the president, and Mona Curry is the emergency manager and board member of Hui Ohaula, which is a nonprofit supporting equity and community resilience in the Ko'olauloa area on the island of Oahu. And Dottie and Mona have joined me to talk a little bit about, you know, the community, disaster preparedness, and building a resilient network. And I want to welcome you both to Bite Marks Cafe.
Thanks, Bert. It's great to be here.
Yeah, and, you know, and Dottie, you know, we've been chatting, you know, for the last couple of years about things like broadband and you know, building digital skills. And I wanted to get you on because you are on Oahu, but, you know, this is probably one of the rural locations. And Dottie, I wanted you to, you know, kind of describe a little bit about what is the Haula community? And you know, you talk about Ko'olauloa. I mean, how would you characterize that particular area of Oahu?
Well, I personally think it's one of the most beautiful areas of Oahu. I actually, after I moved here for a couple of months, I drove around the island. I stopped here and I bought a house that very day.
Oh, really? So you drove around and then you just stopped there and you never left?
That's right. I didn't leave. I just loved it so much. I mean, it's really beautiful. It has lots of foliage, beautiful mountains, mm-hmm. streams. You know, it's a really idyllic place in so many ways.
Now some of the things that it is very idyllic, but there's some kind of challenges, right? I mean, kind of like one road in, one road out, and you have the ocean that's like right there, right?
Yeah, we have significant challenges, you know, and we have that one road in and out, very small road, and mm-hmm. the road is falling into the ocean. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't seem that our government right now really is going to do anything about that, but except let it keep going. We call it Band-Aids. They put Band-Aids on there periodically, and they think that's okay. So, but we're worried about it because there are water lines along that road and our power lines are along that road.
And communications are along
that
road.
Yeah. Yeah. Broadband is along that road. So it's our triple plus threat, you know, it's a real issue for us.
And Mona, you're involved, you're part of the board at Hui Ohaula, but your background is in sort of this disaster preparedness. Tell us a little bit about what you bring to the table, and you've got a pretty good long history in this disaster preparedness area.
I do, yeah. I actually retired from the city of Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and then I moved to Haula.
Now, were you like Dottie with driving around Oahu, and then boom, you landed in Haula?
Well, all I knew is that I really didn't want to be in a big city.
Uh-huh.
I wanted to be, you know, in a community that was a little bit tighter, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I know Haula has a lot of challenges, but it's actually a pretty close-knit community.
Yeah, yeah.
And, yeah, definitely. And everybody knows everybody. And most people want to help each other. And
it's a very old community, too. Yeah, it's very old. It's, you know, this community's been here since 1200, and families have been here that long. So I don't know an older community, basically, in all of Hawaii, but it's a special place.
Now, Dottie, you said 1200. I mean, you're talking, that's a long time ago.
Well, you know, we have four heiaus, and there, you know what a heiau is.
Of course.
It's a Native Hawaiian spiritual temple, and we have four on our hillside,
mm-hmm.
and they're amazing. And we actually restored one And we had an archaeologist come out and do digs, and the archaeological data shows that what they were, when that heiau was built, it was in the 1200s.
Do you happen to know the significance of that particular heiau and what it perhaps represents or signifies?
Yeah, I love it. It's a healing heiau. It's one where they had medicinal plants and herbs, and the Native Hawaiians were using those. It was kind of like going to a health and wellness center.
Well, in a way,
I love it.
Yeah, and that's kind of what you're reviving there, too. Now, Dottie, you've been working on this, I would venture to say, for decades, right, to build this kind of resilience. I'll call it a resilience hub, but this probably, you know, a couple of decades ago, probably wasn't called a resilience hub, but you were kind of involved with this sort of redesign of some of the structures there. Because I think, I mean, and maybe this is where you can give us a little history, because as I understand it, there was a point in time when the city and county of Honolulu had a satellite city hall over there, right?
Right. They still have the building,
mm-hmm.
We actually contract with them for use of the building, and that's where our nonprofit, Hui'i Ohaula, our vision was to bring in many nonprofits to work together, and we now have over 30 nonprofits and organizations working together there. I'm hosting a big partnership luncheon on Friday, and I have 50 people coming. So it's exciting to do this work, and the people are great to work with and doing a really good job all together. And one day I realized I kind of knew everybody, but they didn't know each other. So we started having these partnership meetings so we could know more about one another and support one another in our work.
So
it's been great.
So, Dottie, back when the CN County had the, you know, Satellite City Hall, that Satellite City Hall doesn't exist anymore, right? The building still exists, but the functioning as a city hall doesn't exist.
It does not exist anymore,
A
lot of people come in and they want to get their dog license or their driver's license and things like that because they think it's still functioning as a satellite city hall, but
mm-hmm.
it's actually very different now.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have some services coming back from the city and the state. Like we have a voter registration. We had a ballot box this past election, but I'm told that they're going to come in because we want them to, and they're actually going to let people vote there. And that's pretty exciting to me, so we're looking forward to that. And we're also working with the state for some new programs coming down. And one is through Hawaii State Energy Office, and it's a workforce development program that we hope to be offering in the near future.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're very excited about these new opportunities and bringing more services in, even if it has to be through the city or the state, you know, that's helpful to people.
Well, I do want to kind of pick your brain a little bit about how you not only fill the gap, you know, with the, sort of like the exiting of the Satellite City Hall and then replacing it with, like you said, the 30 nonprofits. And I'd like to kind of get a sense as to what kinds of services, and you're sort of describing some of the things that you're now helping to implement. So we'll get into that detail, and I also want to talk more about, you know, the disaster preparedness aspect of that particular area. So we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back at a short break to continue our conversation with Dottie Kelly Paddock and Mona Curry of Hui'i Ohaula. This is Bite Marks Cafe. Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe right here on Hawaii Public Radio, HPR1. I'm Bert Lum, and if you're just joining us, we're talking to Dottie Kelly Paddock, president, and of course, Mona Curry, emergency manager, board member, and consultant of Hui'i Ohaula. which is a nonprofit supporting equity and community resilience over in the Haula area, or the larger Ko'olauloa area on the island of Oahu. And of course, right before the break, Dottie, you're sort of describing some of the services that you're getting into. And, you know, you've been quite visionary, you know, in terms of bringing in a lot of different community services to serve that area. How did, from strategically, how did you figure that, you know, these kinds of things would be best offered there in Haula versus, say, up in La'ie, where you have a pretty, you know, a big community up in La'ie? How does sort of Haula fit into that dynamic between La'ie and where you are?
Well, I think La'ie has a lot of, you know, it's LDS community, mm-hmm. and they have a lot of services they provide for their LDS congregation, mm-hmm. and the community there. And Haula has one of the highest Native Hawaiian groups in the whole state, mm-hmm. right here, mm-hmm. in Haula. It's about 52%, and the principal at the school tells me she has just about 100% Native Hawaiians. They have one of the largest Hawaiian immersion programs in the state.
Oh, wow.
And so we do want to serve Native Hawaiians, and a lot of people on my board are Native Hawaiians, mm-hmm. and that is a primary issue, Native Hawaiians and Pacific Islanders. And we do our best to provide cultural services as well as health and wellness services, kupuna services, because our kupuna out here don't get all the services that they get in town. So we go for grants that will help us bring equity to this area. We also provide WIC services, and for young children, we have some great educational programs. Keikioka Aina and PACT are partners of ours. So we have a lot of great services that serve the whole spectrum of people's needs.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We also, since COVID started, started getting into the food services. And we now have a full-time food pantry, and we have 7 different food programs altogether of food distributions throughout the month. And so, and great partners to work with who bring us the food and we distribute it. So, and then, you know, we wanted to get into this emergency communication. And mm-hmm. I know Mona can talk more about that too, but we got some funding through AARP and also through the Castle Foundation to set up a Starlink network throughout the region, out Ko'olauloa region. And so we, of course, have our emergency preparedness programs and work on preparing our community and making them more aware of the issues of natural disasters. And so this all is they're very important services for our community, and we just want to keep growing them so we meet all the needs there are. And digital equity is another big issue that we know we need to do better on, as well as helping people get retrained in new workforces such as renewable energy.
Mm-hmm.
So we're working with the state to get some of that started out here. They're doing it in other parts of the island, but it's going to be great that we can offer our community on the North Shore area all of these services.
You know, I hope we have some time to get back to some of those projects that you're talking about with energy and digital equity. But Mona, Dottie mentioned, you know, sort of the disaster preparedness aspect, especially in the context of communications. What went through your mind when looking at the community in Haula and approaching how you would, let's say, beef up, perhaps make more robust the network options that would perhaps be dependent on if, in the case of a natural disaster, that some, you know, communication lines went out. What was your thinking about how to build a more resilient network?
Well, yeah, like you mentioned, Haula can really be cut off, and that includes not just with the roads, but also with communication.
Mm-hmm.
And as we know, you know, whenever there's a disaster, if first responders can't communicate effectively to people and giving them instructions on maybe which direction to go or, you know, maybe head to your safe refuge area for a tsunami or whatever the disaster, if the communication aspect isn't there, it can lead to really bad things.
Mm-hmm.
But one thing about Haula is people are pretty resilient in themselves. I mean, they don't want to be vulnerable. They mm-hmm. want to be resilient. And then that's why you see this whole movement that Dottie's really leading is the resilient community, Haula Resilient Hub.
Mm-hmm.
And thanks to Dottie, we have, a great leader in that process. But communication-wise, we are doing certain things, including, you know, what Dottie mentioned with the Starlink, with the grant, with AARP. Thank you, AARP. In that we want to make sure that we have a way to keep those lines of communication open. So Dottie didn't have time to get into the details of that, but within the Kolaloa communities, you know, there's one Starlink, we'll say, system for each of those. So we're trying to, you know, get that up and running. And then hand in hand with that is teaching people how mm-hmm. to access it during a disaster, because it's not going to be activated, you know, all the time. It will only be used during the disaster. How they're going to access that and what they can use it for. You know, it wouldn't be something that we would want them to watch videos on. It's really for emergency communication, letting other people know they're okay, being able to hear instructions from, you know, government,
so
city and county.
Yeah, so Mona, you know, it sort of interests me. Perhaps there's a secret sauce to your grant application, but I wouldn't expect you to be getting funding through AARP, because you know AARP is Association for Retired Persons, right? And I would imagine that they would perhaps support services for Kupuna. How did you? And maybe I don't know. Maybe this is a Dottie question, but how did you craft your request for funding that got AARP to fund, you know, sort of these ground stations, you know, that basically Starlink has to communicate with the satellite specifically for internet access? I didn't think that AARP would necessarily consider that to be in their wheelhouse.
Well, AARP does a lot of work in emergency preparation,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
they have whole notebooks and training programs. And so you're wrong about that, Bert. You've underestimated AARP. And
well, that was a setup. That was a setup question so that you could, you know, put AARP on the pedestal.
That's right. I really do, because, you know, they're about livable communities.
Mm-hmm.
And what's more livable than, I mean, we all know with climate change, we're having more changing weather and sea level rise. And it's all right in front of our face in Haula. We can see it every day. And we believe that, and AARP believes, we need to keep our most vulnerable residents in our communities safe and prepared. And so, you know, one of the selling points for Starlink with AARP is that we were going to prepare people ahead of time, and we were going to especially focus on the most vulnerable people. So they supported it, and then I wrote another grant to the Castle Foundation, Harold Castle Foundation, and they supported it. And between the two of them, we got 5 high-performance Starlinks. And we actually have a Starlink system, have had one, working in our emergency operations center here in Haula.
Wow.
And it works so seamlessly. When the power goes out, Starlink is on. And it's beautiful. You don't even miss a beat. And you have you can use your computer. You can use your phone to text. And you can use your phone to call. But like Mona said, in an emergency situation, you want to be very cautious and use the least amount of power as you communicate. So you wouldn't, like she said, be playing videos and things and stuff like that.
Well, Dottie, you know, I do want to also get you to share a little bit about the upskilling, the skills that people need to be prepared to use when implementing any of this technology. So we'll hold that thought. We'll be right back at a short break to continue our conversation with Dottie Kelly Paddock and Mona Curry of Hui Ohaula. This is Bite Marks Cafe.
Support for Bite Marks Cafe comes from the HPR Local Talk Show Fund, which helps Hawaii Public Radio sustain and grow its locally produced talk shows. Mahalo to contributors PCAT, Pacific Center for Advanced Technology Training, and the Rice Partnership.
Welcome back. This is Bite Marks Cafe. I'm Bert Lum right here on Hawaii Public Radio. And if you're just joining us, we're talking to Dottie Kelly Paddock. She's the president. And Mona Curry, she's a board member of Hui Ohaula, a nonprofit supporting equity and community resilience in the Ko'olauloa area on the island of Oahu. And right before the break, we're talking a little bit about, you know, building this resilient network. And Dottie, you were describing some of the Starlinks that are going into place and getting it funded through grants from AARP and Castle Foundation. And I guess, Dottie, maybe you can share a little bit about the work that you're doing to also augment that, you know, sort of physical infrastructure with the kind of digital skills training and uplifting for the community at large. And maybe both you and Mona are involved with that effort. So what kind of digital skills are you trying to also impart, you know, on your community?
Well, we're working with our most vulnerable citizens who are our seniors. You know that in emergencies, seniors are the greatest number of seniors. They're the people that die in emergency situations. Mm-hmm. So we are focusing, and we've been running we call it a Kapuna Tech class every week for the last year and a half. And it's really been very popular. We didn't know how that would go over. But Kapuna come in and tell me, this was the most important thing that's ever happened to me. It's changing my life. And I go, wow.
That's great.
You know, and so they are excited about it. They are coming. They are learning. And, you know, I'm so excited that the city and the state are moving forward with a lot of new digital technology opportunities. And we're hoping to expand those programs across all populations in this area. So we really know how important that is for a person's life, our livelihood, our social life, our whatever it is. It's amazingly important that we have good digital technology skills.
Now, are you is your staff teaching those classes? And you know, you said you have it every once a week, right? Once a week. So is it a repeat every week, or is there a pathway for, you know, going from, let's say, level one to level two, three, four.
Right. We are we are creating that pathway. We know about this North Star curriculum, we're looking at that. We're going to get much better at following a specific curriculum in the future. But it seems like we're also using the AARP system to do introductions to Kapuna on technology. So we're doing a little both, and I had a great young man walk into my office about the right time. I was looking for someone to do this job, and he said, I think I want to work here. What are you doing? And so we got into a long conversation, and we hired him, and he's teaching that class now. And he has such wonderful skills, but more importantly, he can work with the Kapuna so well. and he so he helps them troubleshoot issues. But if he is following a curriculum, they're doing a lot of technical things and putting together flyers for our nonprofit, mm-hmm. or for their different programs that the nonprofit has for Kupuna. So they put flyers together about those programs, and they're quite good. So I think it's growing every day because people see that and they realize, oh, this was done by my friend Deborah or Michelle or Marianne. You know, so they want to do it too.
That's great.
Yeah.
And Mona, you know, you were mentioning coming up with some classes for people to better, I guess, learn how to use the Starlink. Because if the Starlink isn't activated, I mean, and you wait for an emergency, I mean, people might forget how to go about doing that. So who are you training to be ready to activate the Starlinks when it's most needed?
Well, Dottie's actually leading that initiative to find the right connection in each of the communities. Mm-hmm, and then, mm-hmm. you know, once we have all that in place, we'll be writing a plan, and then we'll roll out teaching, you know, when to turn it on, how to turn it on, how to get the password out to the community so that they can access it. So we're, you know, it's all in the pipe work. It's all in the pipeline. We're working on it.
Well, Dottie, you know, you're creating something called the Broadband Emergency Response Team.
Yeah.
Well, that is exactly what we're doing, Bert. And that's, you know, what we found that putting that team together is harder than we thought because people are a little hesitant to do new things.
Mm-hmm.
But we are creating teams, as Mona said, in each of the communities. And we are teaching them not only how to use Starlink, but there's a lot of technology background that will be very helpful for them as well. And, for instance, doing outreach in their community and letting people know, this is where you come, you know, and how it's going to happen, how we're going to prioritize things. You know, if you have emergency communications that are coming in or need to go out, how do we do this, and how do we work on this together?
Well, Dottie, so, you know, we're gonna have you come back because I think there's a good, great story that can be told, you know, as time goes on. Dottie, where can people find out more about all the work you're doing with Hui Ohaula?
Well, we have a website. It's huiohaula.org.
Very good.
And so you can go to our website.
I'll put that up on our show notes. Dottie Kelly Paddock, she's the president, and Mona Curry is a board member of Hui Ohaula, nonprofit supporting equity and community resilience in the Ko'olauloa area on the island of Oahu. And I want to thank you both for joining me today.
Pleasure, thank Bert. Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Bite Marks Cafe. Join us next week when we'll talk about the VEX Robotics Program in 2025. If you miss any part of this edition, you can find the podcast of tonight's show on bitemarkscafe.org. Our engineer is David Chong. You can catch us on HPR One every Friday or anytime via the HPR app or your favorite podcast application. In the meantime, you stay safe. You stay awesome. We'll see you next week on another edition of Bite Marks Cafe.